Over to Congressman Paul. You're known as the absolutist in the bunch, someone who has consistently opposed federal government from having any role, and I think by your definition that isn't explicitly laid out in the Constitution. This makes people curious. Is there a line with you? Where do you draw it? Does this include things like making cars safe, making medicine safe, air traffic control, controlling the jets above our heads?
Well, I think in theory, if you understood the free market and a free society, you don't need government to do that. And we live in a society where we have been adapted to this, and you can't just drop it all at once, but you can transition away from it. On regulations, no, I don't believe in any of these federal regulations, but that doesn't mean I don't believe in regulations. The regulation of the marketplace takes care of it. Just think if we had the regulations on the market that dealt with the bankruptcies, that had to go bankrupt. We wouldn't have been able to bail out the big banks and the big corporations and dump on the poor people. Well, so the market would dictate it. You can't commit fraud. If you need detailed regulations, you can do it at the state level, but the federal government is not authorized to nitpick every little transaction. The way they use the Interstate Commerce Clause is outrageous as far as I'm concerned.
Well, 30 seconds more for devil's advocate here, because would you then put it on the drug companies to say, no, we're bringing this to market, trust us, it's a fantastic drug. All the pilots in the sky to add to their responsibilities, their own air traffic control in an organic way.
Well, what I said is theoretically you could, it could be privatized, but who ends up doing the regulations on the drugs? They do as much harm as good. They don't take good care of us. Who gets to write the regulations? The bureaucrats write the regulations, but who writes the laws? The lobbyists have control, so the lobbyists from the drug industry has control of writing the regulations, so you turn it over to the bureaucracy, but you would have private institutions that could become credible. And I mean, do we need the federal government to tell us whether we buy a safe car? I say the consumers of America are smart enough to decide what kind of car they can buy and whether it's safe or not, and they don't need federal government hounding them and putting so much regulations on that our car industry has gone overseas.
Congressman, thank you. Over to Speaker Gingrich.
Congressman Paul, another question from a Politico reader. Do you advocate getting rid of the minimum wage? Would that create more jobs?
Absolutely, and it would help the poor, the people who need a job. The minimum wage is a mandate. We're against mandates, so why should we have it? No, it would be very beneficial. But I was trying to get your attention a little while ago. There's eight of us up here. I'm a physician, but you sure weren't going to ask me any medical questions. But I would like to address that just a little bit. First off, the governor of Texas criticized the governor of Massachusetts for Romney Care, but he wrote a really fancy letter supporting Hillary Care, so we probably ought to ask him about that. But mandates, that's what the whole society is about. That's what we do all the time. That's what government does. Mandate, mandate, mandate. And what we talk so much about the Obama mandate, which is very important, but what about Medicare? Isn't that a mandate? Everything we do is a mandate. So this is why you have to look at this at the cause of liberty. We don't need the government running our lives. And I do want to address the subject of $2 oil or gasoline, because I can do much better than that. I can get you a gallon of gasoline for a dime.
Time, thank you, Congressman.
Well, now I got to finish the sentence. You didn't give me the time before.
Yeah, I can these get are you rules that all of you agree to that Brian and I will try to
let's hear that, yeah.
Finish the sentence or you're all done.
Okay, I'm going to finish the sentence
quickly,
then.
Please.
Okay, you can buy a gallon of gasoline today for a silver dime. A silver dime is worth $3.50. It's all about inflation and
good.
Too
thank
many
you,
regulations.
Sir. Now, Governor Perry, I saw you nod your head.
John,
I saw you nod your
speaking of letters, I was more interested in the one that you wrote to Ronald Reagan back and said, I'm going to quit the party because of the things you believe in.
Oh, I need an answer on that. It had...
You've got a 30-second rebuttal
your time.
I strongly supported Ronald Reagan. I was one of four in Texas, and one of four members of Congress that supported Reagan in 76. And I supported him all along. And I supported all his issues and all his programs. But in the 1980s, we spent too much, we taxed too much, we built up our deficits, and it was a bad scene. Therefore, I support the message of Ronald Reagan. The message was great, but the consequence, we have to be honest with ourselves, it was not all that great. Huge deficits during the 1980s, and that is what my criticism was for, not for Ronald Reagan's message. His message is a great message.
Funny thing about the mail, kind of tends to live on forever. To all of you.
Thank you. Congressman Paul. We've been talking just now about Governor Perry's rhetoric, but let's talk about his record. Just this morning, your campaign put out a statement accusing him of pushing for bailout money, supporting welfare for illegal immigrants, and trying to forcibly vaccinate 12-year-old girls against sexually transmitted disease. He's your home state governor. Is he less conservative than meets the eye?
Much, much more so, yes. Just take the HPV. Forcing 12-year-old girls to take an inoculation to prevent this sexually transmitted disease. This is not good medicine, I do not believe. I think it's social misfit. It's not good social policy. And therefore, I think this is very bad to do this. But one of the worst parts about that was the way it was done. You know, the governorship in Texas traditionally is supposed to be a weak governorship. I didn't even know they could pass laws by writing an executive order. He did it with an executive order, passed it. The state was furious, and the legislature overwhelmingly, probably 90%, I don't know exactly, overwhelmingly repealed this. But I think it's the way it was passed, which was so bad. I think it's a bad piece of legislation, but I don't like the idea of executive orders. I, as president, will not use the executive order to write laws.
Governor Perry, we'll get to you, but Congresswoman...
Congressman Paul, this same line, you want to abolish the TSA. What would exist in its place?
Well, the airlines are responsible for carrying their cargo and their passengers. I mean, why should we assume that a bureaucracy can do better? And look at the monstrosity we have at the airports. These TSA agents are abusive there. Sometimes they're accused of all kinds of sexual activities on the way they maul people at the airport. So the airlines could do that.
I'll give them your best at LAX tonight.
I would think the airlines should treat passengers as well as a company that hauls money around, and they protect their money. They have private guards, and they could do it. Just remember, 9/11 came about because there was too much government. Government was more or less in charge. They told the pilots they couldn't have guns, and they were told never to resist. They set up the stage for all this. So no, private markets do a good job in protecting, much better than this bureaucracy called the TSA. Let me tell you.
Let me ask you about something else. It's related. In a way, has to do with Mother Nature. Before the broadcast, Senator Santorum's got flooding today in Pennsylvania. Governor Perry is just back from the wildfires out east. Category 1 storm laid waste to entire areas. There's standing water tonight, Paterson, New Jersey, many of the towns around where I live, 8 days without power. We had people eating in outdoor and public parks because the supermarkets were closed down. The question is, federal aid, something like FEMA. If you object to what it's become and how's it's run, your position is to remove it, take it away, abolish it. What happens in its absence?
Well, what happened before 1979? We didn't have FEMA, and that FEMA just conditioned people to build where they shouldn't be building. We lose the market effect of that. But yeah, my position is we should have never had it. There's a much better way of doing it. I mean, this whole idea that the federal government can deal with weather and anything in the world, just go to the federal government. FEMA's broke. They're $20 billion in debt. But I'm not for saying tomorrow close it down. A lot of people pay the insurance. I work real hard to make it work, and I did that in my district, too. But I'll tell you how we should do it. We're spending, believe it or not, this blew my mind when I read this, $20 billion a year for air conditioning in Afghanistan and Iraq, in the tents over there, and all the air conditioning. Cut that $20 billion out, bring it home, take 10 off the debt, and put 10 into FEMA or whoever else needs it, child health care or whatever. But I'll tell you what, if we did that and took the air conditioning out of the green zone, our troops would come home, and that would make me happy.
Mr. Kane.
Congressman. your thoughts?
Obviously, it's a very big problem. I think we need to remove the incentive. Easy road to citizenship. Nobody has mentioned the fact that they qualify for benefits as well, you know, the welfare benefits that we shouldn't have to give. And the state of Texas shouldn't be forced to provide free health care and free education. But there is a mess down there. It's a big mess. And it's the drug war that's going on there. And our drug laws are driving this. So now we're killing thousands and thousands of people. That makes it much more complicated. But the people who want big fences and guns, sure, we could secure the borders. A barbed wire fence with machine guns, that would do the trick. I don't believe that's what America is all about. I just really don't. We can enforce our law. If we had a healthy economy, this wouldn't be such a bad deal. People are worrying about jobs. But every time you think about this toughness on the border and ID cards and real IDs, think that it's a penalty against the American people, too. I think this fence business is designed and may well be used against us and keep us in. In economic turmoil, the people want to leave with their capital, and there's capital controls and there's people control. So every time you think of a fence keeping all those bad people out, think about those fences maybe being used against us, keeping us in.
To my colleague, Jose Diaz-Balart, thank you. Thank you very much. Congressman Paul, a long time ago, a fellow Texan of yours, a young student teacher in Cotulla, Texas, was horrified to see young kids coming into the classroom hungry. Some of them with distended bellies because of hunger. He made a vow that if he ever had anything to do about it, the government would provide meals, hot meals at best, in schools. The young student teacher, of course, was later went on to be President Lyndon Johnson. Do you think that is any more, providing nutrition at schools for children, a role of the federal government?
Well, I'm sure when he did that, he did it with local government, and there's no rules against that. That'd be fine. So that doesn't imply that you want to endorse the entire welfare state. You imply endorse all welfare. Anytime I challenge it, you're going to challenge the whole welfare system. No, it isn't authorized in the Constitution for us to run a welfare state, and it doesn't work. All it's filled up is with mandates, and the mandates are what we're objecting to. I want to repeal all the mandates, but yes, if there are poor people in Texas, we have a responsibility. I'd like to see it voluntary as possible, but under our Constitution, our states have that right. If they feel the obligation, they have a perfect right to. So don't always try to turn around and say that we who believe in liberty, we lack compassion. Because we who believe in liberty and understand the market, we're the only ones that really understand how people are taken care of, how they are fed, and how people have jobs. It's the market. It's never the government that does it. So this whole idea that there's something wrong with people who don't lavish out free stuff from the federal government somehow aren't compassionate enough. I resist those accusations.
Congressman, thank you. Somewhat...